Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today.
Welcome to the What's Your Next podcast. So excited to be back. And today we have our friend Francesca talking all things vampires. Vampires is my one go-to paranormal being that I love, I adore. I'm not a werewolf girly. I am not a shifter of any kind. And I'm not a witchy, even though I'm actually a witch in real life. But that's a different story. So hi, Francesca.
How are you? I'm so excited to be back. And I'm actually super excited to be talking vampires because right after my heart.
Yes, I am so excited. I'm so excited to have you back. Like we used to, if you probably listened to episodes this past year, you probably heard Francesca's recommendations going over because we used to do the novel hour every Thursday at noon and talk about book recommendations. And no, we did not have a bad breakup or anything. I just had actually work to do. I have a day job and I had to go to meetings. And so it didn't make sense for me to, I didn't have the ability to do novel hour, but we're still friends. We still talk, we still chat, we have a group chat with Victoria, Francesca and I, and we keep it big and busy and happy and we support each other. So there was no bad breakup or any kind.
Yeah, I mean, schedules, man, real life.
I know, like it's a recession indicator that you kind of have to go to work. So I'm like my cozy mystery world because I'm an investigator. So I'm doing sleuthing around, trying to find issues and stuff. So I'm just living my cozy mystery best life possible. So unfortunately, I couldn't do my YouTube career. And that's okay. So Francesca, what have you been up to? What's going on under the covers? What's going on all the projects? Because you have lots of things.
The projects. Yes, I'm actually excited to be working on the Romanceopoly reading challenge for 2026. So I've been working on the board, the concept for the board. I've been working with the designer. So that's the big thing that I am working on right now. We are doing like all the end of the year stuff with Romanceopoly anyway for this year, but I am just, yeah, behind the scenes, just planning already for next year. And yeah, just getting a lot of content up on the blog. That's kind of been my focus more than other platforms, but I'm still around on YouTube, Instagram, and all the things as well. Obviously, Novel Hour every Thursday. So lots of things.
Lots of things. And keeping my mom busy. My mom works for Francesca. So just a fun fact, my mom is actually a virtual assistant. If you want to hire her, she's more than welcome to take on clients, although she's a little anxious. So we love her for that. But Francesca's done the amazing work of training her and having the patience to explain things and going over things. And it's been a lovely awakening for my mom, who's retired, and to actually have a purpose. And she's not a reader, but to know all the books. And now she's on Starting My Own Book Blog.
She's so funny too. I mean, she's amazing. She is way too fast. I can't keep up with her, actually. But I spoke with her yesterday. Funny enough, I didn't tell you this, but I had to talk to her about, I don't remember what it was. And she was referencing this post that she had worked on. And she says to me, I know all the things about this Dixon author. I'm talking about Ruby Dixon because she's been updating some of the reviews. And I was like, oh, okay. She's now, I know whenever I see her name, I know that sci-fi romance. And when I see the two, like the monster with a couple on the cover, I know that's sci-fi romance as opposed to sci-fi. So now I know where I need to put it.
I love this. And I remember the first time, I think it was Sienna Acosta, The Morning for Glory Fire. You were like, oh my gosh, I'm sending this book to your mom. Is she going to be okay? And I was like, mom doesn't care. Like, she does not care if there's monster fucking. Like, she does not care.
Like is she going to be okay? Because this, I don't know, is it too much for her sensibility? Fine.
Totally fine. She's whatever. Reverse her. Multiple guys. She's
like, I mean, some of the things she has to read about on those blog posts, Lord.
Yes. So we're training the bluebird. Boomer era that retire like basically all the things about romance and all the things and giving them a new education.
Yes, love it.
Awesome.
She's the best.
Okay, let's start on vampires because vampires are having resurgence. I think
yes,
do a lot of romanticy or when it's considered paranormal romance in some ways, it's getting a resurgence thanks to the going back to it. Also, the man's trash and you don't like regular men. So talk to us about vampires. I know Black Dagger Brotherhood series is on, so that's like a established series that has happened for more than 20 years, but we like new vampires are getting written and from all types of things. So
yeah. And I mean, I am so happy that vampires are back. I grew up, like, I got my first taste of vampires with Anne Rice when I was in high school, and like, I haven't looked back from that. So I was really into the late 2000s and the 2010s vampire, which was the biggest boom for PNR, like paranormal romance. What's coming out now is a little bit different, but I think it's exciting because we're getting, like, for a certain period of time, the past couple of years, we were getting a lot of the sweeter, very rom-com light paranormal, which a lot of it was witches and not really the stuff that I love to read about necessarily all the time. So I'm actually excited that we're going back to the true paranormal romance. And I do think that romanticy has a lot to do with that, because we started to see these kind of creatures in romanticy first, like that blew up really big. And it's been kind of like an easy transition to say to people, well, you could have them in a made up world, but you can also have them in regular life. So yeah, there's a lot of exciting things. I actually brought recommendations that are 2025 releases. So these are all new things that are coming out. So there's a lot of good things, a lot of good things.
All right, so let's head to the recommendations. Get to it.
Okay, all right. So let's see, what do we start with? And let's start with, I think that the first one we're going to give you is one that I read recently. It was kind of like a book club, is for a book club under the covers. It's A Bargain So Bloody by Vasilisa Drake. Now, this one came out June 30th. It is a romanticy, and it's the first in a new series. It's kind of a dark and dangerous romanticy, a lot of tension. The heroine is a witch who has been locked up in kind of like a castle prison for a crime that she didn't commit. And then the prison is basically a death sentence. No one gets out of there. So she has a hope to survive, and that is to team up with Raphael, who is a vampire. He is shackled in these enchanted cuffs. And the witches and the vampires in this series are basically sworn mortal enemies. And that is also because she has also personal vendetta, because vampires killed her mother. So he is really like the last person that she should be trusting, but he is also the only one that can get her out of there. So they make a deal, and that is basically that she's going to free him and he's going to help her escape. Now, the execution of that is not so simple, but, you know, they get through it. And he also, of course, has his own agenda, so she should be trusting him. But there's a lot of undeniable attraction between them. It's a bit of a forbidden romance. It's the classic slow burn, morally gray hero. He falls hard. And also, it's a heroine that really doesn't know her strength in terms of, like, her witchy powers and stuff. So she's also starting to get into her own on that. And it is the first in the new series, so you're not getting the full resolution in that book. But the second one is also coming soon. So I think it's a great one if you love, like, enemies to allies, kind of true enemies and vampire witch dynamics. It's a great pick for that. So that was really enjoyable. Now, the next one that I have for you guys, it's kind of really shifting the mood, and it's more of a paranormal rom-com. Now, I did say that I don't like those, like, funny, lighthearted ones, but this is a paranormal rom-com, but it's a little bit different because it's a murder mystery as well. So this one is Loving a Vampire's Total Chaos by Audra Hayes. It came out also June 12th, so, you know, middle of this year. It is also going to be a series, but you are getting a full HEA in each book. So if you read this one, you can read it as a standalone if you want. The heroine in this one is Celine. She is a human. She is a new detective. She just got promoted, so she's proud of that promotion, and she immediately gets stuck in this case that is basically impossible. There's a string of murders that are really gruesome, and every detective before her has quit because they couldn't deal with this investigation. Now, at the same time, there's a flashy new vampire club that opened in Chicago, and that's kind of pulling her attention in all different directions. The hero is the 300-year-old vampire, of course, and he becomes obsessed with her. However, he is basically bored of his immortality, so he's been passing his time by killing criminals that the cops cannot catch. So that's why there's all these deaths that are happening. And as he becomes obsessed with her and he tries to always show up and be around her, and like the banter between them is really good, But then, of course, she realizes that she's falling for him, but he might also be tied to the crimes that she's investigating. So if you like a bit of a murder mystery meets like a paranormal rom-com, then this is a great one for that. I think it was really entertaining, and I am looking forward to the second book. But like I said, if you want to read it as a standalone, you get a full HEA in it. Now, the third one's a little bit darker, and I just finished reading it like 2 weeks ago. I really loved it. It's The Serpent's Bride by Catherine Ann Kingsley. This just came out August 28th, so it's brand new, and it is more of a true paranormal romance, a little bit like a dark, I think they call it a romantasy, but doesn't really have the romantasy vibe. So it's more of a gothic story, but also a little bit of a mafia politics in it as well. So our heroine is a fae. Now, she has been training her whole life to avenge her parents' deaths. And her parents died at the hands of vampires. So then she hears that Raziel, who is the prince of the most powerful vampire mafia, is actually going to marry a woman that he's never seen. And she is a shapeshifter kind of fae. So she decides that she's going to take her place and disguise herself as the bride, slip into the family, and kill everyone from the inside. But of course, things are not so simple. He is ruthless, but he's not as ruthless or as cold as she was expecting. Obviously, there was more than meets the eye to what was happening. He's very magnetic. I really enjoyed this one. I'm really looking forward to the next book because it ends a little bit on a cliffhanger on their relationship, but I know it's going to be really good. So I think it's great if you love like enemies to lovers, marriage of convenience, mafia politics, dark romance, some kinky sex, the heroine that is torn like between her vengeance, but also she's really falling for him and like she's really attracted to him. So she's got that battle inside of her. So this one is really good for that. A lot of politics as well. So definitely check this one out. I think it's great if you like The Serpent and the Wings of Night, mixed with a little bit of Haunting Adeline, a little bit because of that dark, like he's not necessarily a good guy. Let's just put it this way.
Just a morally gray red flag.
I mean, yes.
Love that for him. Love that for us. Yes.
But you know, I'm not going to spoil it. But yeah, you have to read it. I've been really enjoying her as an author. And I have been recommending her as a good fit for people that like Janine Frost. So if you like Janine Frost, I think you should definitely check out this one. Plus, I mean, she has other books. She has a Dracula book as well. It's a duology and it's done. So that one's also really good. So go check out Catherine Ann Kingsley for sure.
They're
on Kindle Unlimited too. A lot of the ones I'm talking about are going to be on Kindle Unlimited. So,
better. Even better.
Just
had a recession and books are expensive.
These are guilt free.
Yes. And you don't have a Kindle Unlimited trick. If you have an offer, I'll put a link on the bio. But we can get an offer for free for a couple months. If not, it's only $9.99 a month. Don't buy the full year because it's still just as expensive. So the year no longer gets you the discount.
Yeah.
But $11.99, you can borrow up to 20 books and you can read them as many too. And they actually have some traditionally published books. There's quite a few now. So
yeah, there's quite a bit of traditionally published too, especially the ones that were indie before and now they're getting picked up by a traditional publisher, but they're keeping them on KU. So
And there's millions of books, so don't worry.
I mean, most of this list. You can just go read most of this list.
Thank you for listening to our commercial. Now let's come back to the recommendations.
Okay, so the next one is actually a standalone. So if you're looking for like a one and done, because I know I've been giving you like series starters, and especially I've been giving you series starters where the second one is
not there. It's not there. We have to wait.
I know. So this one is a true standalone, so you can just read that. And it's Nocturne by Karina Helly. This came out back in April. It's set in Los Angeles, 1947, against the backdrop of the Black Dahlia murder. So our heroine, Lena, has just lost her best friend, Elizabeth, and she wants answers about what happened. She wants revenge, closure, and all the things. And instead, what she finds is Victor, an ex-boxer-turned-vampire, who is, of course, very dangerous. And he doesn't remember what happens after dark, like after he goes to sleep. he blacks out basically and wakes up bloody and doesn't know how that happened. So Lena knows that she probably shouldn't stay around, and that sounds too complicated, but they work together on that whole thing. So the atmosphere, I think it's really what makes the story. It's kind of like film noir meets true crime with a little bit of a twisted romance as well. And of course, vampires, which I think Karina Helly in this one really leans into, like the obsession and the compulsion of what a vampire story is. It's very gritty and sensual and haunting. Seven and LA Confidential. So I think definitely it's a great one if you want something like different, because I feel like sometimes vampires are same old. So this one's a little bit different, which is what's exciting. Now, right. I do have a couple of YA, though.
Oh, my gosh. Let's turbo YA. And those are probably no spice. Just basically keep it.
I mean, yeah.
We're trying to keep the kids.
Well, I mean, I love my kid.
You already said YA is read by adult women.
Yeah, for the most part. Because even when you're not necessarily having all the things on page, but there's a lot of references of themes that probably are not the best for like actual young adults.
Because it's not written by Gen Z or Gen Alpha. Like, then how would have different slang or stuff like that?
This is true.
Yes. But it is okay. We love this for us. Just like Danny wrote the Summer Return Pretty, which I still did not watch the series because I'm so mad about the how the book ended. And I'm still in apartment. And I ended up looking for fan fiction at the time. There was not a lot of them.
Oh, no.
And I know there's a movie. I know it's great. But,
you'll get to it. At some point, you'll just...
I think I'm going to try to... I have a couple other shows that I want to watch. I've been watching thriller shows. So, like, more in the mystery area. But maybe I'll watch the series and enjoy it from what it is. Because it's really written by a millennial woman.
Right.
Who gave redemption arc of, yes, you're going to go to Paris. And yes, because every millennial storyline has meant that the girl doesn't go to Paris.
Like that new Netflix movie about the girl wanting to go to study in Paris and it ends up being Paris, Texas.
Yeah, like that. There we go. Like, it's a whole thing. It's a whole story. It's a millennial trauma that we have. Rachel Green did not go to Paris.
Oh, no.
But Lauren did not go to Paris. She stayed in the summer with her boyfriend. How did that work? Did not work at all.
No. People should know better. Just
go to Paris.
Pack your bags and go.
You won't leave the boy. The boy does not matter. You go to Paris.
There will be another boy there. It's fine.
You're going to find your Benito or whatever the guy appeared, whatever guy, French guy. There. No.
But great.
Okay, let's go back to the YA.
You know, the first one is actually a mix of creatures. So there are vampires, but they're also werewolves. So it's you got the whole lore. And it's Blood Moon by Brittany Ann Lewis. This one just came out in September. And I think what's cool about this one is it really goes back to the OG YA paranormal, because the author was inspired to write this because she loved Twilight and the Vampire Diaries. Yes. And the reason she wanted to write it was because all of those big YA books of the time didn't have any representation in them. So she was like, I'm going to write that. And in this one, the heroine Mira is starting her freshman year at a Kansas City university. So it's got a Midwestern setting. And she wants to move past the old legends of the werewolves and the humans and vampires that she's heard. But then there are some strange animal attacks that start happening around campus. And cold cases that are connected to her missing mother resurface. And she can't ignore the myths anymore. So, you know, she has to face all of that. And the only one who knows more is Julian Santos. He is a boy who definitely has secrets of his own. So, like I said, vampires, werewolves, family secrets, slow-build romance in the campus mystery. So it's a really good one, especially if you love, like, the paranormal drama of the 2000s. But if you want it in a more modern take and with some representation, this is, I think, a must read for that. Also, another YA is A Cruel Thirst by Angela Montoya. I'm including this one because it came out like at the end of last year, like middle of December of last year. So like it's still...
It's 2025.
It's 2025. All right. It was like 2 weeks away.
Anything that comes out in December that is Christmas goes to the next year.
Yes, it automatically gets moved.
We don't read, most people don't read, well, the seasonal readers don't read regular books unless they're in the seasonal. So seasonal is Christmas and holidays and Hanukkah and everything else and snow
all the things.
And all the things. Oh, yes.
So now this one is a YA romantasy about two unlikely allies. Our heroine Carolina wants to prove herself as a vampire hunter, so she's a slayer. And our hero Nano is a newly turned vampire who just wants to be human again. So he really hates what happened to him. And they have to work together, even though technically they should be enemies. And there's this ancient evil that they have to battle. So this one is fun. It's kind of like a fast-paced, forbidden romance. It's angsty. I would say that this one is good like for fans of Serpent and Dove by Shelby Mahurin. And if you like that star-crossed lovers situation, this is good for that. And I've got one more YA. Bro, lots of YA. This one hasn't come out yet, so it comes out in December of this year. Mm. And it's The Last Vampire by Romina Garber. So this one is basically Pride and Prejudice meets, like, Crave by Tracy Wolf. Our heroine, Lorena, is an Austin fangirl, and she enrolls at a Gothic boarding school, hoping to find her Darcy moment. And instead, she wakes up William Pride, who is the last surviving vampire. Now, he has been asleep for centuries. He doesn't know how to use a phone. And suddenly he has to decide if he's going to save his kind or if he's going to fall in love with Lorena. So this one is really witty. It's romantic. It's got that Gothic atmosphere. So it's perfect for all the fans of like the boarding school paranormals that are going around right now. Seem to be also popular, the boarding school. So if you like that, this is a great one for that. And I do have a couple of other adult that I think you should definitely add. One is paranormal rom-com, because I do enjoy them occasionally. And it's I Accidentally Hooked Up with a Vampire by Jessica Cage. This came out back in March. And it sounds chaotic because of the title. I think if you like Kimberly Lemming, you're kind of used to those types of titles and that type of chaos. And that's what you're going to get with Jessica Cage. So in this one, Whitney loses her dream job. She goes to drown her sorrows with some cocktails, and she accidentally hooks up with Domino, who is a vampire. A little dramatic. And then she ends up having to juggle her bills, plus also supernatural politics, because there's people after her. And she didn't know that her friends were not human. So it's kind of like lots of shenanigans, found family, friendships, like all of those vibes, which I really enjoy. If you want something that's going to make you laugh, that's definitely the one. And I highly recommend the first one in that series too, because that one is demons, not vampires, but it's so funny. So if you want to have a good laugh, read Jessica Cage for sure. So back in adult paranormal, there is The Road Trip with a Vampire by Gina Levine, which is also a lot of fun. And we have basically a vampire with amnesia. And he ends up showing up at our heroine's door, and they go on this road trip together to figure things out. So if you want road trip and vampires, then that is also definitely something that you should check out. Lots of fun. Jenna Levine really writes more of the lighthearted kind of paranormal vampire. So if you're into that, this is good for that. Not as laugh out loud funny as Jessica Cage. That one, I would say, it's a little bit more over the top. Like, really is going to get you to giggle, but it's still like really lighthearted and fun. And to close things out, I wanted to give you guys something that is a little bit shorter. It's also like one and done, but you can actually dive into a whole series of shorts. And that is Space Vampire by Ruby Dixon, which is just coming out. It's 70 pages. It's super short. And it's about Dana, a human who is abandoned by her alien captor. And she finds herself stranded on a space station with Vlad, a genetically engineered vampire clone. So this one has like the forced proximity, the steamy tension, danger, and all of that. And this novella is actually part of the Scared Sexy Collection, which is a Halloween romance anthology. And there are stories from Allie Hazelwood, Christina Lauren, Katie Robert, J.T. Geisinger, Kimberly Lemming, and of course, Ruby Dixon. Now, each of them is really short, so you can read them in one sitting. and you can read the whole series. It's perfect for spooky season. So definitely check that out for sure.
I love this.
And I do have an Edison recommendation, nonfiction.
Nice.
Like the Vampire Diaries.
Sure. Nice.
You should listen to I Was Feeling Epic, which is the oral history of the Vampire Diaries. It tells all the tea. Who got the pick, who did not get picked, who was supposed to be cast, how did this casting happen? All the gossip of the early 2008 season series in the CW. So it is a fun oral history. It's a multicast narration, but everyone participated and we got to hear the tea. So if you want some nonfiction for Nonfiction November, where you want some vampire Adjacent, like the place to go. They even talk about how the series was made, like how did it get started, because the author, it wrote the book before that, but then actually got lost. I know she lost the rights for the book and writing fan fiction in that world, because it was one of those higher at the era of the 2000s, the 1990s, how books were made. And YA space was not like author driven as it is.
Yeah, no.
It was mostly driven by publishers and ghostwriters and specific things and specific information. And so she lost her rights, and then they had to do something about it. And it was definitely a reflection of they wanted to make something. Twilight was big, but they want to make something different from Twilight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I think it's interesting too, because I had read the books, and then when the show came out, I was really excited to watch the show, and then I was like, oh, this is nothing.
Yeah, the books are not at all. They Hollywood came were like, we got to do another Twilight. And they hired Kevin Williamson, who is known for Dawson's Creek and the Scream franchise, which is another one. If you want to hear about the Scream franchise, Your Favorite Scary Movie is a great audiobook. Amazing. And so he was dropping me, and he was hired for this specific job. And he was like, how are we going to do this? And how are we going to, it's like a unique take. And so, yeah, it's an interesting companion books for this one are Paperback Crush by Ariel Moss, which is about the history of the 80s and 90s teen literature and all the different things. So we have all the paranormal, specific to Christopher Pine, Daniel Steins, the Vampire Diaries, and specific things like what made the odds literature bad. And then I Was Feeling Epic, it tells you about the story, but if you want to have more of those oral histories, then Your Favorite Scary Movie is the Scream movie. And then if you want earlier teen, like iconic teen show, I would say Welcome to the OC. It's actually authored by the executive producers, Josh Schwartz, and stuff like that. So a lot of crossover, but that it's actually like the iconic one we see now. A lot of the television that we see now is thanks to that show, which is like interesting. Like, oh, I did not, but the housewives are from there. Like Laguna, Vanderpump, all the shows in the OC.
Yeah. And it makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The original.
Yeah. Just a little bit, just a little pop culture, non-fiction education. So, Lauren Jessica, tell us where you find your lie.
So everywhere pretty much is at UTC Book Blog. So that's on Instagram. On Facebook, it's Under the Covers Book Blog. And mainly the biggest place you can find me is at underthecoversbookblog.com.
Awesome.
Thank you. So nice to talk to you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider rate, review, or subscribe. This is the best way to support the podcast. If you're looking for books we talked about today or want to dive into more curated reading guides, head over to whatyournextblog.com. Every post includes links as well as why you love it with my personal notes and even library tips to help you read on a budget. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. Bye. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.